Testing. Good evening. This is the Men's Network Radio on KGVM 95.9 on your dial, or stream us at kgvm.org every Thursday night, 7 to 8 p.m. The Men's Network Radio is a resource for men on a journey of self-discovery. Tonight's guests are Sean and Jesse Sparkman, owners of Zero Gravity Floating. They're located in Bozeman, Montana at 702 West Main Street. Jesse and Sean, thanks for joining us tonight. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Did you get a float in today?
Unfortunately, no, but it is on the radar for the weekend.
Okay. I also have my wife here by my side tonight, Marion Koslick. I'm James Koslick, your host. And we actually used to have way back in the, what was it? It was like early 80s, late 70s,
early
80s. Late
70s and yeah, early 80s.
That we were involved in a flotation tank business. So I wanted to invite her because we're both excited about this, especially seeing one in Bozeman. We can hardly wait to try that. I think you have a double tank. That's what I saw on the website.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited about that. But let's get started.
Okay.
So do you want to clue us in on who was the inventor of the technique some call sensory deprivation?
Sure. So the original inventor was a neuroscientist named John Lilly, who, among other things, he invented the idea of the sensory deprivation tank. He did that in the 1950s, where he created the first sensory deprivation tanks. They looked really quite scary, and you needed to wear masks, like breathing masks, as you would be completely submerged in the water. Modern float tanks are much friendlier and easier to use. You don't need to be submerged in the water, but by using about 1,000 pounds of medical-grade Epsom salt and about 160 gallons of water, the tank creates an environment where the user can experience no light, little to no sound, and no gravity by floating for as long as they're comfortable.
Oh, that sounds inviting. So what is sensory deprivation? Now, that kind of sounds kind of scary to some people. So how would you explain the process when somebody first walks in a more soothing way?
Sure. So sensory deprivation, or sense dep, is anything that involves taking away your senses. You can do that right now just by closing your eyes or by going into a quiet room. So at our float facility, we've created the ability for the client to have the maximum control over the environment as possible. So each client can control the lights inside the pod and inside the individual rooms. And our room lights are remote controlled by the client and can be turned to very bright, to very dim, and off. So each individual room is also temperature controlled too, so you can have it warmer or cooler depending on your comfort. And all of the senses can be added or taken away as the floater is comfortable. We like to remind people that they are in complete control of the environment the whole time. That's one thing we stress when people come in our door or when they ask about our facility. If you want to float with the pod lights on but the room lights off, that's fine. If you want to float with the pod door open and the lights on or off, that's fine too. As long as people get to relax in their environment, they can take away the lights and sound to be in as close to zero gravity or zero sensory state as possible.
So, Jesse, I'm curious, do people talk about what they experience when they go in there? Do a lot of people turn the lights off, or don't they really tell you?
The great majority of people will take the deep dive and turn all the lights off, close the pod, put the earplugs in, and have the maximum amount of no senses as possible. There are some people that really just can't float without some sort of light source, and that's totally fine. So a lot of people will find that cool blue light that's in the pod, and they'll float with that on. We have one gal who likes to float in the pod. She doesn't want to float in the pool. She wants to float in a pod with the lid open, with the lights on max. And that makes her comfortable, and that's the way she wants to float.
Well, I can understand that, because when we were in the business, they were very box-like, and the many people would walk into the room and say, "My gosh, this looks like a coffin. I don't think I can get in there."
Yeah, now they look very inviting with the soft lights and the pod itself.
Well, I also thought it was interesting that you're giving people the opportunity to choose. And I'm wondering if some people choose to start one way and then gradually move into total deprivation.
A lot of people do that too. They'll mix and match. So the remotes that are for the lights that are in the room actually go inside the pod with you. So we have them in a sealed bag where water can't get to it. And so of the things that we let people go into the pods with, the remote to the room light is one of them. So they can play around with it during their float, if it's their first float, to find what their comfort level is. And if halfway through they decide, you know, I really want to float with no lights on mid-float, they can do that. And that's one thing we wanted to for everybody to have the control over, because sometimes it can be quite scary. You don't know if you're going to be locked in this thing and
right.
out for an hour. And we wanted it to be comfortable and inviting and easy for someone who's never done it before to have a positive experience.
Oh,
and we're seeing like the old school style flotation tanks were rectangular in shape. And you're absolutely right. The new ones are shaped kind of like a clamshell spaceship. And the footprint is very large. And the interior portion of it is large too. You can stretch all the way up, like put your hands above your head and stretch, put your arm and your legs out to your sides and stretch out. And you can, you know, for an average 6 foot person, you can barely touch the sides of it. And the lids are really large. You can, it's much easier to get in and out of the newer style pods. So
wonderful.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, how many times did you guys float before you started the business?
So you might laugh, but we only floated once before making the decision to start a floating business.
It
was really that powerful.
All right.
It wasn't too many times that we floated before we decided we were going to do it either.
But what was it that made it so powerful for you and your mother?
We all experienced a level of serenity after our floats that we had not experienced pre-float. And it was profound enough that my mom and I got to talking, like, there's really nothing like this in Montana of the caliber that she and I could put into a business. So after we did our trip and did our floats, we got back and just immediately hit the drawing board for how could we make this happen and how can we make it accessible to everybody in, you know, certainly in Bozeman, our hometown, and then of course to our great state of Montana, and then people traveling in and out also, what could we do that would be different and you know, have a positive impact on people's lives.
Well, that's great that you are going in that direction. I in terms of the positive impact, I know for relaxation this all sounds great, but what could you if somebody, like, this is a show for men on a journey of self-discovery, so some men want to get deep and get into their feelings, emotions, or past trauma, working through that. So what kind of advice, maybe Sean, you can step in here, would you give a man, a male, that's going to look more at their inner self?
I'd say the very first thing that I experienced that I guess would help other men who discover their inner self was just the ability just to let go. The very first time I floated, I noticed how hard it was to just completely relax and pretty much sit back and let the float do its thing. It's kind of a almost like a control aspect, especially for a lot of men to be able to let go of that. And as I did that, it made the experience so much more profound, and realizing that where I hold my own stress and tension in everyday life and how I'd walk around, overutilizing my own muscles. And at that point, it was like, why am I carrying this whole burden when I don't need to every single day? Like, that was mainly the main thing I discovered the first time I floated. And that was sort of how I, every time I do float, is I don't try to force myself to do something, for instance, try to find a meaning for that float. I let the float help me discover something else instead.
Well, that's really exciting because I'm in a men's group every Monday night, and one of the things that they go through when we share is checking out our body first. Where are we feeling tension and holding tension? And I like the way you described when you get into the tank, you let the float take over, and you don't try to dive into, you know, oh, I'm all tense and I want to relax. You just let the float do it for you. So,
right. For me, the past few times I've floated, I've come to realize that, like, if you try to make yourself relax, it won't happen. Yeah. You'll just be tense, you'll be tight. But if you give yourself that time inside that pod and you take that patience, that will do you so much more positive than trying to simply force yourself to just doing something that you can't do at that moment.
So
go ahead.
So Sean, I'm just curious, now that you have experienced floating and that deeper sense of relaxation, are you able to do it when you're not in the tank?
Yes, substantially. Okay. I realized simply walking around every single day and when I'm at my office, at my chair, how much better I can allow myself to be in a relaxed state, both physically and mentally. And it's allowed me to let go of a lot of inner either stress or chaos. And it also allows me to be able to see it easier when I am carrying that stress or tension in my body. I'm much quicker to be aware of it, and I can start to focus on, okay, you are at least, you know, carrying this on you. Start to realize that, start to relax, and go forward from there.
Bravo.
Bravo. I'm really glad that you took it in that direction, because I had an opportunity about 3-4 years ago to do a few floats, and that first one was really tough for me. I forgot what it was like, and I went in there doing just the opposite of what you just said. And uh-huh. So when I got out, you know, it was like, the guy said, well, how was it? I'm getting used to it again.
Yeah.
And the second and third time was much better. The third time was finally I got into the a really good float, just uh-huh. like you described. So now, you know, what prompted you? So you, one float, next thing you know, you started a business. Uh-huh. So I'm curious what prompted you to do a float business?
Well, the history of it is we went to Portland. My mom's brother lives there, and we went to visit him, my mom and myself and Sean. And I've been curious about the floating experience for a while. You hear it on podcasts and you see it on TV as kind of this weird science fiction thing. And I've been curious to try it for a while. And while we were in Portland, we found another float shop, and we got a group on, and we all decided to float. We floated at the same time, but in separate pods. So Sean and I had our own pod, and then they had an open float pool at that facility also. And it like I said before, it was just, there's kind of this giddy excitement. You're going to climb into this pod and lay naked in there for an hour and experience whatever you're going to experience. But it was so peaceful and it made me very exhilarated at the same time. When I was done with my float, I just felt great. My body felt relaxed and I had this calmness, but I was ready to get going on something. And my mom and Sean both experienced some really serious physical relaxation along with it. We all just kind of, we got ice cream afterward and sat and just shared this collective peace. And it was just so wonderful. And it just, I don't know what sparked in my mom and my conversation, but we were like, there's nothing like this in Montana at all, you know, that we knew of. You know, maybe some massage places had a tank here or there, but nobody had a facility that was specifically designed for all floating all the time. And we just let the idea kind of run from there. And my mother is one of the smartest people I've ever known. She's a crazy, amazing businesswoman, and I can handle more of the artistic website and marketing side of things. And with our powers combined, we made this thing happen.
Wow, that's terrific. So, Sean, did you kind of experience the same thing? Or what did you share when you guys were eating ice cream?
For me, it was the immense ability to no longer feel pain while I was walking around that I didn't realize I had the pain of. having that ability just simply after we left the float shop and walking a block, it felt like I was using about maybe 30% of the amount of energy it took to walk at that point. I was like, why am I walking so hard? It was so bizarre that, you know, I could actually just use my own skeletal frame and the muscles that I had to be able to just glide around. And that ability was, it was eye-opening.
Wow, the way you describe that. Now, this is off the top of my head here. I wonder how that would be for people with MS.
Oh, yeah. It'd probably be substantially impressive.
We've actually had a couple people who are also float center owners have floated with us, and the one gentleman did have MS. And he was saying, water temperature is extremely important for MS because if anything is higher than 94 degrees, it can make the symptoms flare up and be quite painful when you're done floating. So that our pods and pool can be temperature controlled to the, you know, the 10th degree, we are able to control the environment in such a way that somebody with MS can have a successful float. And that particular gentleman floated in our pool. He had not floated in one that was that large, and he loved it. And this is a guy who, I mean, he floats every week. He's an avid floater, and he loved the pool because it was so large, and we were able to match the water to air temperature, so you can lose that kind of body autonomy feeling where you can't quite tell where you end and the water begins. And he said afterward that his joints and muscles felt much better.
Oh, that's really exciting, especially for people with MS. So if somebody wanted to come in that had MS and wanted to float, should they call ahead of time so you can bring the temperature down a bit? Because what is the temperature? Isn't it our natural skin temperature?
Mm-hmm. It's anywhere between 93.3 degrees and 94 degrees.
Okay.
So we can control the temperature in a degree in either direction, depending if somebody runs warm or if they run cold. And typically we try to keep it right at 93.3 or 94. And then during the float, we have PA systems in each one of the pods and the pool. So if the water temperature is just a touch too warm or cold, you know, people can buzz us at the desk and ask us to change it, and we can change it on the fly so the rest of their float can be at the desired temperature that they're comfortable with.
Wow, that's amazing.
You put a lot of thought into making this people friendly, every person friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we, in the designing of the building, our building is from the 1940s or 50s, and so when we were able to get it, we gutted the whole thing and redid all the plumbing, and we got to build our walls exactly how we wanted them. So in all of the rooms, we have extra thick drywall, soundboard, and insulation in between the walls from the floor to the true ceiling to make each individual room as positively isolated as possible. So sound doesn't carry over from room to room. Sound doesn't carry over from the outside of the building in, walking up and down the hallways or talking in the lounge. If you're in the pod, it's really quiet.
Well, that's really good. You're kind of over there by the, was it Bozeman Bagel Shop or something like that?
Yep, Bagel Works. We're direct neighbors with Bagel Works.
Oh, you are? Oh, great. Well, that's a good landmark then.
Mm-hmm.
So when people first enter your facility, what can they expect?
When people first come in, usually they're really quite relieved to find that our atmosphere is not clinical. when we were designing how we wanted the facility to be, we made it with having as large a possible lounge as we could, simply for pre and post float comfort. So there's tons of furniture. My mom's got a really comfortable rocking chair in there. We have a couple couches. Places if you want to congregate with other people and talk, you can. If you want to sit by yourself, you can. And just be in a comfortable place that's cozy and relaxing. We also built it with a fully functional kitchen, so people can use it pre or post float. We have some people that are use floating as a recovery option because they're bodybuilders. So they'll go and lift, and then they'll come to zero gravity and put their lunch in the fridge and then go float and then make their lunch afterward. And that's part of their routine for when they're doing their lift days. So we wanted the fully functional kitchen and comfortable places to sit, got board games and a table. We also kind of wanted to move into group floats, so team building exercises for companies and or wedding retreats if you want to get away from the chaos of planning a wedding, or just, groups of friends that want to come in and have a shared experience can do so, floating at the same time and then come in and hanging out in the lounge and not feeling cramped.
Oh, I like that a lot.
And we're going.
How about your men's group? You could invite the whole group to go.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely going to bring this up and let my next group let them know about it.
Are there group rates then?
Yes, and that is an excellent mom question. I don't have the pricing in front of me.
We kind of
figured it would be per room for a set number of hours. But I don't have those numbers in front of me, but we would like to treat each group as an individual so that, prices can vary depending on availability and what the needs of the group would be.
Great.
I mean, I got to tell you, that's what I found way back when we were floating and had the business. It's like I could really do a lot of self-work, work mm-hmm. at myself. So that's really good. So when somebody comes in, do you have any kind of reading material just to introduce people to the whole float experience or any videos or anything like that?
A lot of people, they see our sign and they'll look us up and they'll see, oh, sensory deprivation. And most people have kind of an idea of what that entails. We have a lot of reading materials and videos on our website and social media just for introductory stuff. But if somebody just comes to us off the street, we like to do an individual orientation that's relatively short just so that we don't overload people. Inside each one of the rooms, I have printed out instructions that are laminated and taped next to the showers that run people through what to do when they first come in, put your earplugs in and take a shower, get in the pod. These are the tools you have in the pod to control the environment. This is kind of what you can expect and enjoy the float. And then post-float, what are your instructions also? And one thing we always ask is, have you floated before? And if you have, most people kind of have an idea of what to do. If they have specific meditation or breathing questions, then we can answer any of those. But otherwise, we love brand new floaters. They're the best. So they have all kinds of really interesting questions to ask. And we just do our best to try to make to not load somebody's experience and make it as peaceful as possible for each individual that comes in.
How young is the youngest floater you've had?
9.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So this young boy, he has some attention deficit issues and he's just kind of a he's a very smart, sweet boy, but he needs a different modality to help himself calm down, and so his mom will come and sit in the room while he floats. And for children, we usually just a half an hour is the perfect amount of time for a child to float, just because you lose a sense of time anyway, and kids kind of have a shorter attention span. So
sure, yes.
A half an hour float for a kid ends up being perfect. And this young gentleman, when he came out and mom had some water for him after his float, he came out and told her that felt like 1,000 hugs. And we thought that was great.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, really.
Just embraced by the water element.
Mm-hmm.
Way back when, I remember there was a movie that came out, Altered States.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when we went out to the movie theater night after night, and we were handing out flyers to come float. So in lieu of that, concerning the mind-altering state that you could get in, how does the concept of a non-sensory environment affect the mind?
Well, when the brain is no longer has constant sensory stimulus, it can relax, which then in turn makes the body relax. When you're floating, when you can get to that relaxed state, the brain will typically produce more theta and delta waves, which are the wavelengths you experience right as you're falling asleep and then in deep sleep. So in the float pod, you can experience that state for a prolonged period of time, which allows for very deep relaxation in both the brain and the body, and then some mental and physical healing as well.
So when we had the business, we used to not sleep on days that we had a lot to accomplish, and we would just float, you know, maybe 3 hours, and we were good. We were good for the whole day.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we would do that several days in a row because we were working at a resort, and there was a lot to keep up with.
Yeah.
That wasn't our business. That was when we were
training
to do a business and deciding.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's anything like that around anymore, like a specific training for doing a float business.
No, I don't think there is.
So now let's get back to the altering mind. And what are the four states of consciousness and unconscious mind?
So they are the beta, theta, alpha, and delta. So beta is what we're experiencing right now. We're awake and we're alert. We're concentrating. I'm focusing really hard on what I'm saying, and we're all in our cognitive state of mind right now. Alpha exists as a relaxed state. So you're awake, but you're relaxed. So you can experience that by lightly meditating, closing your eyes, and focusing on being quiet. Theta is generally associated with light sleep, which is the right as you're falling asleep in that REM dream state. You can experience some deep meditation, intuition, and memory. This is where your brain converts short-term memory to long-term memory. You can have some vivid visualizations or dreams in this state. And then delta is the unconscious mind. It occurs only in deep sleep, and it's dreamless. And this is where your brain goes to allow for deep healing of your body and your immune system.
And when you float, do you recognize the states now that you've floated?
Not yet. After a while of floating, you can start to recognize when your brain will dip into those theta waves. And it's an interesting being lucid for those moments in time where you can kind of shed your body for a minute and be aware of your awareness of yourself. It's
correct.
An interesting feeling, and that I find it really quite hilarious and joyful for me when you dip into those, you know, it almost feels like you're falling asleep and then you jolt awake.
Correct.
And but it's a pleasant sensation. It kind of feels like a nervous system massage to me. What about you, Sean?
Yeah, for me it's interesting in that when I go into theta, it's as if I'm not really sure if I'm asleep or awake. I just know that I'm not either. I'm just kind of in both. And I'm just like, well, I'm just going to keep rolling with this. This feels amazing. And like, I'll think I'm totally awake when I'm actually, you know, snoring inside the pool. Or I'll think I'm asleep and I'm actually like looking around inside the pod. So it's, for me, it's really joyful to, like, it's joyful to be able to go into that data and allow myself to go with the flow regardless of which way I feel about it.
That's pretty interesting. I'm big on the our unconscious mind and the conscious mind, and I'm big on how the unconscious mind is where we have all our thoughts are just there, whether they're negative or positive, past trauma situations, whatever might come up. And we have the opportunity to change that like a snap of a finger if we're aware that we have that power. And I'm just wondering, when you get into a float tank, and this is a question for anybody that's here tonight, if you take a personal thing that might be happening, whether it's in a relationship, me being Marion's husband, I might take in an argument that we might have just had and go into there, and all of a sudden I might take that into the tank. Now, I haven't done this for a long time, so I don't know what it'd be like, but I'm just wondering, is everybody following me where I can take something and then all of a sudden it pops up like, wow, that's because, you know, this happened to you way back in. And I do have a specific thing that happened when I was first started floating, about a year before. I got hit from the side on a car going through a light, and I was on a bicycle.
Oh, man.
Yep, and I got flipped up in the air. The paint was on my pant leg, but it didn't crush me. I flipped up in the air, came down, I don't know how I did it, and on my knees, and the force was so great, it strained my tendons and cartilage and whatever in the knee. Nothing got broke, I was okay, but I was about 3 weeks, just had to be on crutches. Now, a year after, then I was floating, and I remember being in that isolation tank, and my knees would just pop up. And then, and they kept doing that every so often. I'd go down into that theta state or whatever, and it'd pop up. And I remember getting out, and as I was telling the facilitator, in my experience, you know, how was that? And I said, well, geez, every so often my knee would just pop up. And then he said, well, did you ever have any trauma? Anything ever happened to you? And then through that, I discovered that I never worked through the trauma of that bicycle accident.
Mm-hmm.
So now I think I'd better explain what was sitting in my subconscious and came up, and I was able to
resolve it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that brings to mind the idea of having veterans float. Do you find that veterans come in?
Yes, we've had quite a few veterans and first responders come and float with us to find both physical relief from the stress of their jobs and the mental relief of dealing with that kind of current stress and past stress and trauma. So my dad is a veteran, and he's disabled, and he floats to find relief in his body. But we found that he has been in a much more relaxed state of mind when he floats also. But the suicide rate for veterans is just terrifyingly high, and anything that we can do to help those folks out in any way, we'd love to do. And we've partnered with the NFIFA, which is the National Float Forward Association, through donations from other partners. They can provide free floats to veterans, first responders, and their immediate families. So anyone that signs up with the National Float It Forward Association, that's a veteran, first responder, or the immediate family member, can float for free with us. And, there have been a lot of peer-reviewed studies with Dr. Feinstein at the Lariat Institute for Brain Research that just 1 hour of floating can have a prolonged calming effect on people that have severe depression, anxiety, or PTSD, for up to 3 to 4 days after their float, and they float for 1 hour. So, anybody that has some past trauma or grief or depression or anything like that, to try floating and see if you can let go in the float and find a positive experience, and then maybe live a little bit more in the present, anything that can surely help those folks out, being a float center owner, we're more than happy to have the facility to do those sorts of things for those people.
Oh, that's really
what a nice
heartwarming.
Service.
Yeah.
That was going to be my next question. What happens if someone has personal issues come up, such as trauma, like we just shared, or grief, or mourning, or whatever? Are you able to be there as a support?
Absolutely. So my mom, at the very minimum, my mom is there all the time when someone is floating. So in the event that anybody, needs anything in or out of the pod, or needs physical help even in or out of the pod, we're there to help. But especially if something comes up during your float that you don't want to be alone for, we're there. And that's also part of the reason why our lounge is so deliciously comfortable, and we have snacks and tea and coffee and water. And if you feel the need to share an experience, to get it off your chest, and you have to do it right there with us, we're more than happy to sit and listen. you know, if that's all it takes for someone to unburden themselves from something traumatic, that's, you know, that's not a big deal for either one of me and my mom, or even Sean, to be there and listen. So
yes, because just having a place to vent, excuse me, or to release the experience really
yep,
helps.
Let it all carry it away.
Yeah, surely.
Now, do any of your float tanks or pods have a sound, or and you know, what might be benefits of having sound?
So some people, if you want to have like a guided meditation or soft music playing, or any of the you know, if you want to have alpha waves, you know, kind of gently playing as you're floating, you can certainly do that. We have waterproof earbuds, and then I think we have a couple of waterproof phone cases, or you can bring your own too and listen to that while you're in the pod. It can have a, you know, a great benefit, especially if you're in there and you just can't let go and relax. If you need something to help you let go, listening to soft music or guided meditation is certainly an option, you know, that you can look into for sure. If that helps you get into that relaxed state, why not? And as you're training your brain to be able to let go, if you can do it without the audio, that's great too. So, you know, everybody is different and an individual. So tailoring the experience, you know, to the individual is something that we looked for when we were building it. So absolutely having audio in the pods, you know, through waterproof earbuds is totally legit and available.
I truly think you've thought of everything. Ours was very primitive compared to yours.
Yeah, I mean, I could see where, you know, some people, especially the ones coming, you know, in the middle of the day to have lunch and take a float, then mostly the relaxation, they might not be into self-discovery. And then other ones are into, you know, trying to figure out what's going on in their life. So
yeah, that's the beautiful part about it is you can go in either direction or both. So somebody who really wants to work on their mental state and mental health and meditation and letting go, they can certainly do that. Their body will only benefit from taking all the pressure off your joints and your spine. Or like we have a couple doctors who like to float with us, and they like to float for a half an hour and they're good to go. And it is all about just physically letting their bodies relax, and that's it. They're good to go after that. Mm. We have a couple massage therapists that they spend all day giving to people, and they come to zero gravity to receive, so they can, you know, like let go, be quiet, and, you know, and still in their minds and float and let their muscles and joints relax for their jobs for the next day. And then also get an hour of, or more of quiet when they're not attached to, you know, their phone or anything else.
All right. So how does the flow experience differ from a meditation experience?
Well, floating can definitely enhance a meditative experience. When you're meditating outside of the pod, you're still going to be having stimulus thrown at you. So if you're sitting on the floor, you're going to feel the floor. The air temperature is probably going to be a lot cooler than your skin, so you're aware of your body. You might hear, you know, a car driving by, or your phone might buzz, or your cat might come over and sit on you, or you still are getting this sensory stimulus, versus when you're in the tank, you're trying as you're comfortable to remove the stimulus so that your brain can let go of the busy thoughts, and it can put you in an environment where it's easier to do that so that you can let go. I would say one complements the other. Like if you meditate outside of the tank and then go into the tank to meditate, it can only benefit both for when you're in the tank and when you're out.
All right, now you covered some of this. I've got a question, you know, about what the benefits are for anyone coming off addictions, or what people with a heavy stress load or full schedule might be. And, you know, you talked about the National Floated Forward Association for veterans. Anything else you want to add to that?
So Floating can definitely help rewire the brain to help with addictions, and not just with substance abuse addiction either, but, you know, everybody today, we're all addicted to our phones or screens of any type. And then certainly to, you know, for smoking or for any other kind of substance abuse, floating can definitely help rewire the brain to not feel the need to pursue the addiction, because being in the moment and at peace, I mean, it sounds crazy and out there, but it really does work. An hour of floating with a mindful goal can help you overcome those addiction battles. And I think there's a whole open world to research in that area for how much floating can help, you know, a person who is addicted to something to help let that go.
All right, and then what about people with heavy stress loads? You know, what do you find? Do they go in stressed out and can't relax, or?
Some do. Like, I mean, floating is an individual experience, so some people can go in and they just go, well, this isn't for me. But we've found that's maybe 1 in 500 people, or more. The majority of people, if they come in, they've had a stressful day, they just want an hour of quiet. Most people come out, we call them the noodles, because everybody goes in just a titch stiff, and almost every single person has come out a noodle, and they come and they just kind of melt in the couch with a smile, and we call it the post-float glow. So you're sitting on the couch just absorbing the rest of the float that was peaceful and calm, and everybody leaves just in a much better state of mind.
Do you work with any psychotherapist, or has any approach you to refer their clients to float?
We have with a couple. We've had a couple referrals from counselors and psychologists in Bozeman, and we think that's fantastic. That the science has carried floating so far into 2019 that people see the real physical and mental benefits from floating for people that suffer depression and anxiety and stress loads. So we would really like to pursue more of that for client referrals from psychologists and counselors and even physical therapy to use floating as a modality for relaxing the mind and the body.
I really want to applaud the outreach that you have, both for veterans, for service people, for the stress of our society, you know, for those mm-hmm. of us that are in constant stress, under constant stress these days.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, of course. Anything we can do for the community. Like my, you know, my dad is a veteran, my grandpa fought in World War II, my father-in-law is a retired police officer. You know, everybody knows somebody that's a first responder or is active military or a veteran. And, you know, we love our community and really try to help those folks out. And so we can't do it every day of the week, unfortunately, with NIFF or the National Float Forward Association, we can for free floats, but for locally, what we do on Veterans Day weekend, so the full 4-day weekend and Memorial Day weekend for the full 4-day weekend, we open it up to free floats for anyone who's a veteran, active military, first responder, or the immediate family member of any of those, so that all of those people can try floating and see if it can and hopefully will, you know, benefit them mentally and physically, so that they can, you know, do the high stress jobs that they can and not carry the stress with them around. They can unburden themselves and then go forward in their lives. It's very important to my mom and myself.
Well, too bad we didn't have this interview with you before Veterans Day.
Well, is that on your website, all that information for people?
The majority of it is, yes. We tend to do more of the that kind of promotional posting on our social media for Instagram and Facebook, but we do have some of it on our website as well.
Well, I would imagine a lot gets covered, or there's a lot of exposure on the social media network.
Mm-hmm. I know it's interesting. We use social media as a modality for people to know about us and be interested, and then we ask them, turn away from your screen for an hour.
There you go.
You can't have one without the other these days.
Right.
I'm wondering if you encourage anybody to journal their experiences so that when they come back, they can see where they were and where they're currently at.
Yeah, that's a great idea too, for, you know, just for whatever state of mind you're in for your first float, how your life is going, you know, if you choose to float again and how often, just how each experience can help you as an individual grow, and just, you know, what you can use each float for to benefit your life.
All right, so we've got quite a few more minutes here. So let's see, how many flotation pods do you have?
We have 4 flotation pods and then the 1 open float pool.
Okay.
So we have 5 rooms total, 6 opportunities to float because we offer tandem floating in the pool. Our pool is, it's the only ADA accessible pool in the state of Montana.
Oh, that was going to be my next question.
So we have a lift station for people that are in wheelchairs to be able to get in and out of the pool. So as long as someone can transfer from their chair to the station, or if they, you know, they have a friend that can help them from one to the other, then they can be lifted in and out of the pool. We actually had one gentleman who came and floated with us who was paralyzed from the armpits down. For over 30 years, he wasn't able to lay down and sleep. He had to sleep in a chair. And floating in our pool was the first time he'd been able to lay down and take the stress off of his joints and be able to lay down in 30 years. And he felt incredible after the float and was very thankful that our pool was ADA accessible so he could transfer from his chair, you know, to the pool and be able to do that comfortably.
The lift, for instance, is that something you added as people made requests, or is it something you thought of right off from the get-go?
We thought of it right from the get-go. Mm. So when my mom floated in the pool at the float shop in Portland, and it had the side of the pool, you could, if you were in a wheelchair, you could move from the chair to the side of the pool. And then once you get in the pool, it's fine because you just kind of slide on in. But there was no really good way to get out of the pool if you were, you know, in a wheelchair. So we thought, you know, having some sort of transfer station. So it's, you know, it's an electric chair that can go in the water, and we set it up if we know ahead of time if someone needs it, has mobility issues and needs it, just to be able to get out of the pool, because getting in is really pretty easy. You can just kind of slide in, but to get out, you know, gracefully, you know, without a lot of assistance would be very difficult without a transfer chair.
Mm.
Do you have the opportunity to sell tanks to people, or is it something somebody would have to go find a manufacturer and buy it?
Yeah, they'd have to go to the manufacturer. So yeah, we're not a distributor or a retailer of pods for the pool. We use Float Pod Technologies, which is we chose those pods. They're quite a bit more expensive than other brands, but we chose them because they're all made in the United States.
Oh,
and
nice.
You know, like that was pretty important to us to pick American-made products. And they had some more features like the PA system that's in there, and the size of the pool was bigger with Float Pod Tech than with other companies. And so that's why we picked.
Oh, I like that. It's dear to my heart. Made in America.
Yes, mm-hmm. Very commendable.
Yeah. So now. Now you have this tandem floating. That's the one that we got our eye on.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, what was your experience of that?
So yeah, Sean and I, we tested tandem floating. It was kind of funny. We wanted to do it, and we shot a commercial where Sean and our good friend Talia, they floated together in the pool, and then Sean and I tested it out for real after that, and to see if it would be something that we truly offer as a as an everyday option instead of a, you know, a special once a year or twice a year thing. And of all the times that I have floated, tandem floating with Sean was hands down my absolute most favorite way to float ever. It was, I found a new level of relaxing that I did not think was possible to float next to somebody that I love. I mean, Sean and I, we've been married for 7 years. We've been together for 14. We've known each other since we were 5. So we've known each other our whole lives, but that tandem floating for me was by far the most amazing bonding experience that I've had with him, and it was just lovely. So based on our one experience, we decided to open up tandem floating to the public, and we've had several people come and use it as a date night thing, which is super cute. And so people come and float as a date, and then they, you know, can go off and do dinner or go home and chill on the couch or whatever they want to do. And it's not something that you find very often, because the pods really aren't suited to have two people float in them. They're just a touch too narrow for that. But our pool is large enough that, you know, two people can comfortably float with and not feel cramped in there at all.
So do you keep floating towards each other and making physical contact?
You can. So we found that if you float like you're laying in bed together, so if your heads are at the same end and you're floating, your breathing and your heartbeat actually create little waves that you kind of bounce around in the pool, and we found that a little distracting. So when we floated for the hour that we did, we floated head to foot. And by being in opposing sides like that, our heartbeats and breathing cancel each other out, and we were almost perfectly still for the entire hour we were floating. Mm-hmm. And right as we were in there and laying down and kind of getting settled, we'd kind of brush into each other and our pinkies would touch, and it was, you know, it was so reassuring and nice that it just was very comforting, and we just kind of like touch pinkies a little bit and then relax and float, and it was by far my favorite way to float.
Well, both Jim and I are twins, and I can only imagine from hearing you talk that we could be bonded in that same way, because we were used to floating with as fetus. Mm-hmm. With someone there present with us. Mm-hmm. So,
and for me, you know, knowing Jesse for so many years of my life and actually doing the tandem floating, it was incredible how quickly I was able to relax and how quickly I went to theta, and I was unaware if I was actually asleep or awake. I thought I was fully awake for the whole experience. But Jesse said apparently I was actually snoring for about 30 minutes of it.
Oh, so
she had a sensory.
I was like, there's no way I was snoring. There's no way. So it was pretty profound to be able to discover that kind of connection with your partner in something as simple as the pool.
I found the whole experience just so joyful. And we drove home, and it just felt so calm and happy, just in the present moment, no worries. I was just happy. So mm-hmm. every time that our schedules are freed up so that we can float together, that's where we want to go is, you know, date night, middle of the day, whatever it is, we want to float together. Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of winding down here with the interview. Hour's getting real close, and I still have some public service announcements I have to do. And so let's just go over a few quick things. Should people bring bathing suits and towels when they go, or?
No, so the majority of everyone that floats with us floats in the nude, and we recommend it. We just can't post pictures of nude floaters online.
Okay.
So everywhere where you see a picture of somebody in our pod or pool, they're in a bathing suit, just to keep everything PG for the internet. But it's part of that taking away the stimulus of feeling. So if you're in a swimming suit, you can feel it clinging to you. And if you can float in the nude, you don't feel that against your skin. Of course, it's a comfort level. If you really want to, if you really feel the need to wear some swimsuits, you certainly can, but we encourage people to float in the nude.
Okay, and you provide towels and.
Yes, we do. So all you can show up at zero gravity with nothing, just the whatever you're wearing, and you're good to go. We provide large towels because I hate going to a spa and getting a washcloth to dry off with. So two big towels for everybody, and then various other like washcloth size towels for hair and stuff like that. We provide earplugs, we provide some deodorant wipes, some lotions, shampoo, soap and conditioner. We also provide like the single-use A&D ointment if anybody has paper cuts or scratches or sensitive skin, or if you just shaved, you can put that on as a barrier so the salt won't sting you. Everything. We wanted to be able to have a facility where you could show up with nothing and have a float and have everything you need there and have a good experience.
Oh, great. So now, why don't you give us your website and however you do social media, any of that information, also maybe the address in Bozeman. We'll go over that again.
So our website is www.zerogravityfloating.com, and you can find us on Facebook at Zero Gravity Floating. There is another Zero Gravity Floating in Texas. So we're not affiliated. We're not a franchise. We were just both really smart and picked the same business name. So if you look for us online, add Bozeman in there or Montana in there, and we'll pop up. Same thing on Instagram and social media. We are at Zero Gravity Floating. And our address, again, is 702 West Main in Bozeman, which is we're neighbors with Bagel Works. And our phone number is 406-586-3390.
Terrific. Well, I want to thank you both, Sean and Jesse. This has been an exciting interview. I can hardly wait to tell the... I hope there's men listening tonight from Men's Network Radio, and I can't hardly wait to share this with my group.
Mm-hmm.
Marion, do you have any final thoughts?
I just want to thank you both for the service that you're rendering the community at large.
Thank you for allowing us to outreach and sort of share this with everyone else so that way they can discover it. It's pretty rewarding to see people come out of their float just completely relaxed and rejuvenated and ready to take on each day.
Wonderful. Yeah, thank you guys very much.
Yeah. All right, thanks guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.